It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. 30 Wisconsin nursing homes have closed since 2016, 14 in the last year alone. Another 27 are in receivership. What's going on here? Well, that's what we're going to spend this entire hour trying to determine. And we want your input. Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? What's the experience been like for them and for you? Did you have to move your loved one out of a nursing home that shut down? How did you deal with that? Were you able to find them adequate care somewhere else? Has having a loved one in a nursing home changed the way you think about health care in the country? And what about Medicaid? What's your experience been like in the application process? And was it adequate to cover the expenses you had during your loved one's nursing home stay? Maybe you work in a nursing home or you used to work in a nursing home. Share your experiences. What do you think has to change? What do we need to do to fix these problems? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Alex Spanko is an editor at Aging Media Network. He covers the intersection of long-term health care policy and finance. Alex, welcome to the Ideas Network.
John, thanks so much for having me this morning.
Carmenta Medical Center in Madison closed this month. It was the 14th nursing home in Wisconsin to close or announce a closure this year, and 30 nursing homes have shut down in the state since 2016. Another 27 are in receivership. Is this a pattern that we see repeating itself across the country?
Yes, unfortunately, we are kind of in the middle of a wave of nursing home closures in Wisconsin, Massachusetts, the Pacific Northwest, pretty much everywhere in the country where there are Medicaid issues. The short answer is Medicaid. The long answer is Medicaid plus a variety of other factors that have been kind of hitting the nursing home industry over the past 20 years in terms of shifts in consumer preference, regulations, changes in reimbursements, all that. But it really, at the end of the day, all comes down to Medicaid. And that's what makes this such a complicated problem to talk about on a national scale, because Medicaid is such a local program. You know, it's a federal program. They receive federal dollars, but each state can kind of do what it wants with Medicaid. And there are a lot of different issues affecting nursing homes all across the country.
Is Wisconsin an outlier here? Are we seeing more closings compared to other states, or are we about average?
In terms of the states that are going through some problems, you guys are kind of in the wheelhouse. Massachusetts has lost about 20, and they believe that 35 more could close. There have been similar issues in the state of Texas and other Midwest states, Nebraska. But really, what's happening in Wisconsin is sort of an example of nationwide trends in nursing home funding. And one of the things that I like to tell people when they ask me, you know, what's going on with the nursing home industry, why are there all these problems? Medicaid plays such a huge role in nursing home funding, and a lot of people don't realize that. So in 2017, the Kaiser Family Foundation put out a great report emphasizing the role of Medicaid. And they found that, I believe that was based on 2016 data, so a little out of date, but probably still in line. 62% of everyone in a nursing home in the United States is on Medicaid. Which you may not think off the top of your head. Medicaid tends to be, people, when they think of Medicaid, they think of lower income families, they think of food assistance, things like that. But it's a vital program for nursing home industries, for the nursing home industry and residents. And when there are pressures on Medicaid, the nursing home industry in most states really cannot handle it.
And also, people are living longer, and the nation's baby boomers are nearing retirement. So we've got this kind of pig in the python thing demographic-wise, and right at the time when we're having a problem, we're seeing kind of a peak demand for nursing home space. Is that another thing that's driving these closures?
Most definitely. And part of the problem is nursing homes are, just as we're ramping up toward the period of time when the baby boomers are going to start to need nursing home care, the nursing home facilities are running into trouble. And it's because, for a lot of reasons, again, as I said, one of the reasons is the reimbursement structure is in place and it hasn't really been updated in a lot of places. It hasn't really changed with the times. You know, nursing home usage is going down, and that's by design in terms of various policy initiatives, and consumer choice. When you think of going into a nursing home, it may not be most people's first choice. And over the last 20 years, in response to the changing demographics, the senior living and care industry has really done a good job of coming up with alternatives to nursing home care. They call it acuity creep in the business. Basically, the kind of services that you used to only be able to get at a nursing home, say 20 years ago, you can now get in a variety of different settings. You can get it in an assisted living facility. You can get it in an independent living facility. You can get it in your own home with home health care. So in addition to Medicaid funding, changes in national Medicare reimbursements, the whole landscape of senior care has changed. The problem is there's always going to be people who need nursing home care, round-the-clock nursing home care. You can only take so many people who would normally be in the nursing home setting and bring them into the home or care for them in an assisted living facility. So states, including Wisconsin, really need to come up with new dynamic ways to make sure that the cost, that the what the state Medicaid rates are providing really aligns with the cost of care in this new landscape where people have a lot of choices, and which is in general a good thing for consumers.
Alex Spanko is an editor at Aging Media Network. We're talking about, the future of long-term care. Right now we're in something of a crisis. I don't think that's overselling it. Based on the statistics, nursing homes are closing or are in financial distress. And we're trying to figure out what needs to happen and what we can do about it. We had a caller who couldn't stay with us who said that he works in a hospital and helps transition patients to nursing homes. He says Medicaid doesn't pay enough, so it's more desirable for homes to take other patients. And it's especially difficult for rural nursing homes. And Wisconsin is a rural state. Alex, is this accurate? I mean, are nursing homes not taking Medicaid patients if they don't need to?
So the way that you have to think about a nursing home, imagine a community nursing home in a rural, suburban, even an urban community. That nursing home is actually two completely distinct businesses under one roof. There's the Medicare business, which is sort of your traditional short-term rehab. Let's say you qualify for Medicare, you're 65 years old, you go to the hospital for a kind of acute episode. It could be an emergency like a stroke, or it could be a planned surgery like a hip or joint replacement. You spend 3 qualifying nights at the hospital, and then you are discharged to a nursing home because you require some additional rehabilitation care. That's covered under Medicare for 100 days. So you can stay in the nursing home for 100 days, receive all the physical therapy, occupational speech therapy, round-the-clock supervision you want. That's all covered under Medicare. Then there's Medicaid. After those 100 days elapse, and let's say you need to spend more time in the nursing home because you simply can't go home, or there was no hospital stay, but you just have multiple chronic illnesses and you need round-the-clock care that you can't get at home, you can't get in an assisted living facility, you have to either pay for that yourself, the long-term care, you know, without a qualifying hospital stay beforehand, or you have to go on Medicaid. And in a lot of cases, the way that it works is you could go in, be on Medicare, run out of Medicare coverage, spend down your personal finances, and then end up having so little income or assets that you eventually then qualify for Medicaid treatment. So they're two completely separate treatments with two really separate goals. Medicare residents, typically the goal is rehab you, get you back on your feet and get you out the door. Medicaid residents, the Medicaid business, is far more long-term. These are people who really cannot be in any other setting and still maintain their health. So
we need to get to a break here. We'll continue our conversation with Alex Spanko, editor at Aging Media Network, and continue to take your calls and comments at 800-642-1234. We're talking about the struggles nursing homes face in Wisconsin and all across the country. What do you think? 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin nursing homes are closing at an alarming rate, and experts warn that if the trend continues, we could face a significant access issue for quality long-term care facilities. We're spending an entire hour on this topic, and we want your thoughts about nursing homes and what can be done to ensure their sustainability. Do you work in a nursing home? What challenges are you facing? What policy suggestions do you have for state and federal decision makers about your industry? Do you have friends or relatives in long-term care who have had to move because a facility closed? What's your perspective? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. The phone number, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Alex Spanko is an editor at Aging Media Network. We have some callers on the line. Let's start in Madison, where Dean is with us. Dean, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Is that me? Okay. Hi. I just wondered, I know, you know, most skilled nursing facilities have their long-term care patients and then the rehab cohorts that are, you know, short-term Medicare-covered rehab after an injury or illness. And what I see working in home health care is that there's a lot of pressure on hospitals to they have to meet a pretty high bar to admit someone to the hospital. A lot of people are kept under observation, even for days on end, because even though they can't, they're not safe to go home, they don't meet their criteria, and they don't get that three-day qualifying hospital stay to allow them to get rehab. So we see people making tough choices about private pay when they really can't get home, and I just wonder how much that is affecting the nursing home business.
Dee, thanks so much for that call. Alex, how common is this issue?
It is unfortunately very common. You know, as I said, in order to qualify for Medicare, you need to have a qualifying hospital stay. And in some cases, hospitals will keep you under observation status, which is different from a qualifying inpatient stay. And that means you cannot get skilled nursing coverage under Medicare. So, yes, that is a problem. That's a little more of a problem on the consumer side. But again, as I said, because there are these two sides of the business, the Medicare business is really the sweetest plum. That's the what you get the reimbursed the most for. So in general, if you are running a nursing home, you want the Medicare patients with the higher reimbursements to cover the losses you may be incurring on the Medicaid residents. So if you can't get those Medicare patients and in your community, if the hospitals are not admitting you on an inpatient basis in order for you to get that Medicare coverage, that could be another strain on your finances.
And, you know, that brings up a question. This is seemingly like within the last decade or so, maybe a little bit newer problem than what we used to have. The whole issue of Medicaid, people are, well, we just assume that you're going to have enough money to be able to pay for whatever your medical coverage is, but people really don't. Even people who have some resources would exhaust them pretty quickly. Is one of the problems here how much it actually costs to keep someone in a nursing home?
It is very expensive to keep people in a nursing home relative to other settings, yes, relative to home health, and that's why we're seeing CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and a lot of states try to incentivize home health care. But yes, there is a lot of misunderstanding about how people can afford nursing home care, long-term care, any sort of services and supports they may need as they get older. As I said, there's sort of this perception of Medicaid as a program for lower income working families, young adults, things like that. But it really is the cornerstone of financing it's the way most people will end up paying for their long-term nursing home coverage. You could be upper middle class, you could be considered wealthy now, but if you need long-term care, you will eventually go on to Medicaid. And that's one of the big issues for a lot of people.
Why are Medicaid reimbursements lower than Medicare reimbursements? Shouldn't they actually be more?
Yeah, you're asking a question that a lot of people who work in the industry want to know. In general, the logic behind that is that it's less skilled care. So you might have heard our caller say skilled nursing facilities. That's kind of a catch-all term for nursing homes. But technically, skilled nursing care refers to Medicare coverage, which is a little more intensive. You know, you're getting therapy. You're getting the kinds of intensive services that are designed to help you go home. Medicaid, a lot of states, they look at it as long-term custodial care. You know, they're not giving you therapy. They're not giving you the kinds of more intense interventions that they might give you because the perception is you're here and you're going to stay here. You're not really going to improve. We're just trying to maintain your care. And then also there's a funding issue. Medicare funding comes from the federal government. Medicaid funding is reliant on state legislatures. And Medicaid is a reliable punching bag for certain politicians who want to cut the budget. They look at Medicaid, they sort of say, okay, we're giving handouts to people, and they look to cut it without really realizing that it's not just for working families. It's not just for people, whatever you believe about, you know, the welfare programs. It's for vulnerable old people, elderly people, rather, who have no other options.
Let's take a call here. Marie is with us in Madison. Marie, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. My question is that Medicaid pays so little, and we're not really getting that federal money for the Medicaid expansion. I think that would alleviate a lot of the problems that are in the nursing homes. And the other statement I want to say is a lot of times the person that has either guardianship or power of attorney that has to take care of the estate doesn't always have the income on their part that they can supplement for the patient's responsibility. So they, like you said, they have to spend down, and then they end up pulling their hair out or being very worried about them having to live in poverty themselves. What is going to happen to this federal expansion and the Medicaid expansion? Because I think that just sitting on it for somebody's personal ego is not helping this situation at all. And I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
Marie, thanks thanks for joining us this morning. A lot to unpack there. The politics of Medicaid, you alluded to this. It's perceived as a welfare program, and not all states have taken the expansion under Obamacare. What's the solution to this particular part of the problem?
So obviously, I know that in Wisconsin, there's currently a fight over Medicaid expansion, and that would certainly bring some more funding into the program, raise the income limit so you would get more people on. You wouldn't have to necessarily spend down as much of your assets. But it's really an education issue at state houses. One of the things that the industry has been doing and has been trying to hammer home is that Medicaid is long-term care. Medicaid is elder care. Even in states with Democratic majorities, Massachusetts, for example, they are having a lot of issues with their Medicaid rates for nursing homes because they haven't been updated in 12 years. And part of that is there's just not as much public awareness over the fact that Medicaid is a nursing home and a long-term care backbone for a lot of elderly people. So I think, yes, Medicaid expansion it can't hurt. Increased funding for the Medicaid program in general is great, but it's really about education and calling your state representatives, calling them and telling them that, you know, you need to raise the rates for nursing homes, not just pour more money into the system.
Isn't part of the issue, though, how the two programs are funded? For example, Medicare is actually an insurance program that's funded through a direct payroll deduction. We pay into it. We expect then to be covered when we reach the age where we're eligible. Medicaid is funded generally with what's called general purpose or direct tax revenue. Isn't that part of the problem?
Certainly, yes. There are different funding mechanisms. That's why nursing homes prefer to have Medicare residents, as your earlier caller mentioned, because that's a very stable funding mechanism that's not going to change. And it's also not really politically expedient to touch Medicare money. You know, nobody in any, you know, on either side of the aisle in any ideological stripe wants to cut Medicare. On the state level, yeah, funding is a lot trickier. There are a lot of different levers that state legislatures can pull to kind of, you know, mess with the Medicaid program, reallocate funds. Currently, the federal government matches funding for Medicaid for states on an open-ended basis, but there have been rumblings in the Republican federal leadership about changing that to a block grant program, which would also reduce the amount of Medicaid dollars that go from the federal government to the states. So yes, it's two separate funding mechanisms. And in general, it's easier to kind of make changes and mess with the Medicaid system to the detriment of nursing homes and their residents.
Since Medicaid is at least mostly federal funded, why are Medicaid reimbursement rates left up to the states to decide?
It's basically you got to think of Medicaid as sort of a weird fusion program where the states get to decide how much money they want to spend on Medicaid, and then the federal government kind of matches it on an open-ended basis. So it's kind of exists in a weird middle ground between the state and the federal government. And the federal government can't just step in and say, we're going to, you know, you have to do this with Medicaid. The flip side of that is that the government does allow some sort of experimentation with Medicaid programs, and you get sort of innovative ways to boost Medicaid rates in states where that's willing. So it kind of works both ways, in that the federal government allows states to serve as incubators for some creative ways to boost Medicaid funding. You see that in states like Indiana and Texas have some interesting programs on that front.
The news is coming up next, and then we'll continue our conversation about elder care in Wisconsin on The Morning Show, and we want to hear from you. Has having a loved one in a nursing home changed the way you think about health care in this country, and why? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Our conversation about elder care continues with Alex Spanko, an editor at Aging Media Network. Having a loved one in a nursing home changed the way you think about health care in America? What do you think we get right when it comes to caring for our elderly citizens? Where do we get things wrong? What do you think needs to change? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. ideas@WPR.org. Alex, we have another phone call. Let's take Barbara in Milwaukee next. Barbara, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I would like to challenge you to expand the conversation, because long-term care is not only about elder care. Both our nursing homes and our community-based systems provide long-term supports for people with disabilities across the age span. That includes some of the Medicaid investments that are so important to make in our state budget that support community care and will reduce the reliance on nursing homes. Personal care rates, for example, have been underfunded for decades, and we're experiencing a very severe workforce shortage as a result. They make it possible for people with disabilities and older adults to live in the community. And by addressing those Medicaid rates, we can reduce the need for nursing homes and other institutional care.
Barbara, thanks so much for that perspective. Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. And I think that you're hitting at something that the healthcare industry is moving toward in a big picture, which is person-centered care, really trying to get people the kind of care that they want where they want it. So whether that's in the home, whether that's in an institution, that's kind of the overarching goal. And I agree. I think that there needs to be higher funding for providers across the spectrum. I think one of the things that one of the problems is that we're kind of stuck in this old school reimbursement system based on, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the kind of system that we had 20 to 30 years ago, where nursing homes were really the only option. And the workforce shortage is something that you mentioned that is affecting providers across all types. We're in a very strong economy, at least on paper, at least in terms of the employment rate. The unemployment rate has been at historic lows over the last couple of years. And there's fierce competition for these workers. And you're correct. If you don't have the correct Medicaid, Medicare reimbursements, you can't pay these people what they deserve. And you can't pay the workers what they need. And you can't attract the workforce that you need to serve these populations.
Barbara, thanks so much for your call. So, Alex, when Medicaid reimbursements don't cover a facility's costs, what options are there?
So, yeah, that's a good question, and it's the math problem that a lot of nursing homes face. A lot of them are closing. That's what's happening. That's what you're seeing, or going into receivership. The other option is to try to find other streams of revenue, and that's what one of the first callers mentioned about sort of selecting the higher reimbursement residents. That's the Medicare patients. That's the post-acute, post-hospital stay residents who get those Medicare reimbursements. So that's one avenue. You can also try to target specialized care that is Medicare reimbursed, such as cardiac, pulmonary, things like that. But there really aren't a lot of options, because you can't kick residents out. You know, once they're in your facility, you can't necessarily say, okay, well, there's someone who pays more, so you're leaving and we're bringing this more, this higher paying resident in.
Let's take another call. Terry is calling us from Northern Wisconsin. Terry, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Thanks. Good morning to you guys, too. Yeah, some of the problems with the nursing homes also is there's a lot of state regulations of inspectors. You have to follow a certain amount. And like you keep talking about the money and everything else, if you have private insurance, they burn that up. They burn your Social Security. You sell your house, they burn that money, and your spouse is left hanging.
All right, Terry, thanks for the perspective. A number of things to unpack there. First point about regulations. Is the nursing home industry overregulated?
If you were to ask the nursing home industry, they would probably say yes. They always talk about how they really do emphasize the quality of care, but there are a lot of regulations that nursing homes have to follow. It's not just state, it's federal. So there's Medicare requirements of participation, which is what they call it on the federal level, and then state level inspections, state staffing requirements. So yeah, there are a lot of regulations to juggle. That typically isn't the reason why a lot of these facilities are closing. It's just another thing that adds to the general difficulty, you know, the calculus that nursing home operators have to look at every day. Also, under the Trump administration, we are seeing sort of more lax enforcement of these things, lower fines. So they're generally satisfied with the federal government, at least under the current administration.
So what Terry's other point about burning through resources and spouses being kind of left in the lurch, that's another real problem with this, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you are spending down your assets to qualify for Medicaid, there are situations where you have a spouse who is at home and a spouse who's in the nursing home, and it's a financial pressure on both ends. So, again, that's kind of a reason why states and the federal government really do need to come up with new novel ways to care for people and allow funding. A good example is in Washington State. They actually just passed it, funded by a small income tax. Everybody in the state of Washington starting in 2025 is going to have $36,000 that they can use for the lifetime of their long-term care services. And that starts whether you're younger or old. So if you have a disability or you have other health needs, you can use that as a younger person. It's not going to solve everything, but that's a potential solution to help ease that burden on families who are trying to spend down their income just so they can qualify for Medicaid.
Well, that brings up another subject, long-term care insurance. People are being encouraged to buy it, but some people are saying that most of these plans aren't worth the paper they're printed on. Is long-term care insurance a good thing for people to invest in?
I'm not a personal investment advisor, so I can't give advice on that. But yes, in general, they are very expensive. And they may not cover everything. And it just at least in terms of if you look at an average nursing home's budget, that's only a drop in the bucket of the kind of reimbursements that they get. So it's something that you should look into, you know, definitely do your research. But people generally can't rely on it. It's something for higher income people to afford in the first place. You know, you need to be able to pay the premiums in order to afford it.
We talked about Medicaid expansion, mentioned it earlier in the program. That's something that came along with the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Some states took it. Other states did not. Wisconsin is, I think, one of only 13 states to have turned down the Medicaid expansion. And in the state legislature, the proposal by Governor Evers to accept Medicaid expansion in Wisconsin was shot down in the Committee on Joint Finance earlier this month. We know nursing homes rely on this. So if we don't accept the Medicaid expansion, do you have any idea what people are proposing as an alternative to keep these struggling nursing homes afloat?
So basically what the nursing home industry is lobbying for now is an increase in just the reimbursements, sort of shuffling around some of the money and increasing the reimbursements to nursing homes. There's also kind of an interesting trick of Wisconsin Medicaid math in terms of nursing homes that can be fixed. So the amount of money that's allocated to nursing homes in the state of Wisconsin for Medicaid, that's actually not all spent on nursing home services. there's kind of a gap between what the government, what the budget allocates and what is actually spent. And that has to do with the fact that the state of Wisconsin bases its Medicaid rates on the total number of users or expected users of nursing home services. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. As nursing homes close, as more people choose to go into the home and community or assisted living, the projected number of people using nursing homes declines, and then the state actually spends less money on Medicaid services, more buildings close their doors, and then the state spends less on nursing home services. And so it's a vicious cycle all the way down. One of the things the nursing home industry is proposing is closing that gap, making sure that what is allocated for nursing home spending is actually spent on nursing homes, and then, you know, basing those reimbursements on something other than the projected number of residents, because you're just going to end up decreasing the budget every year. It's actually gone down. There was about $900 million budgeted for nursing homes in 2011 and 2012. That has gone down to a little over $700,000 for the 2017-18 budget.
Obamacare still in effect other than the individual mandate, but a decision that would overturn the entire Affordable Care Act is currently on hold pending appeal. If the ACA is overturned, how would that affect nursing homes?
So it would get rid of some of the one of the big effects that the ACA had on nursing homes was on the Medicare side, that there were some regulations, some sort of stricter reporting for things like deficiencies and safety. There were also some overhauls to Nursing Home Compare, which is the federal government's website for consumers who are looking at different nursing homes that they might want to send their loved one or go into themselves. One of the big dangers of Obamacare repeal or ACA repeal is toward the Medicaid program. We saw this in the summer of 2017 during President Trump's first year in office. As part of overall Obamacare repeal, the Senate Republicans, congressional Republicans, proposed converting the Medicaid system to a block grant system instead of the open-ended funding on the federal side. So states provide their portion, federal government provides their portion of the Medicaid funding for states. Basically, what that would do is that would severely limit the amount of money coming from the federal government to the states for Medicaid. So it could be $800 billion over 10 years that would not go into the Medicaid program. That's the biggest danger for any ACA repeal effort, is any attack on Medicaid, any changes in the structure, the way that the federal government cuts Medicaid, because it would only get worse for nursing homes were they to do that.
Alex Spanko is an editor at Aging Media Network, and our conversation about the problem of funding nursing homes in Wisconsin continues in just a moment. You can join us with your comment or question for our guest. Your proposal to solve this problem would be most welcome at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. 30 Wisconsin nursing homes have closed since 2016, 14 this year alone. Another 27 are in receivership. Experts warn that if the trend isn't reversed, we could face major problems with access to long-term care in our state. And we're talking about that and wondering what you think we should do about it. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest is Alex Spanko, and he's an editor at Aging Media Network. Alex, we have another phone call. Let's hear from Lisa in Madison. Lisa, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call.
Yes.
As I've been listening to the conversation, I think that one thing that's important, I work for an organization that serves people with disabilities, the ARC Wisconsin, and people with disabilities really rely on the quality of our long-term care system as well. And I think there's a crisis in the community and community care at the same time that there's a crisis in the nursing home industry. And I think part of it is related to the direct care workforce crisis. We can't pay workers well enough. People with disabilities who want to remain in their homes, they don't want to be in nursing homes. About 90% tell us that they can't find qualified workers. So I think that, you know, it's important to talk about people's desire to live in the community as long as possible and to make sure that there's enough resources, Medicaid and otherwise, for that to happen for people.
Lisa, thanks so much for that comment. This is, I think we've heard this before. People are interested in being cared for in their home. We've got a lot of disabled people who rely on this. And do we want to put more people in nursing homes, or would we be better off seeing a shift toward assisted living or care in home care? And what do we do about the shortage of workers?
Yeah, so those are two great questions. On the first part, I think in general, we are seeing a move toward consumer choice, patient choice. You don't have to be in a nursing home anymore. And I don't think the answer is necessarily putting more people into the nursing home. And I think the nursing home industry wouldn't say that either. What they would say is, we want to have the appropriate funding so that we are always there for the people who will always need us. That said, advances in technology, telehealth have made it possible to care for people, elderly people, people with disabilities, people with chronic conditions in their homes, in assisted living facilities, in places, you know, in the places that they want to be. For the second part, the workforce crisis, it is a real problem. You know, with states raising their minimum wages to $15 an hour in certain areas, with the historically low unemployment, it's a really tough sell for these nursing home health care operators to try to convince people that they should work for them, as opposed to making $15 an hour working in an Amazon warehouse or making $15 an hour working in retail or food service. Because let's face it, these jobs are difficult. They are not necessarily glamorous. They involve medical procedures. They involve caring for people in very intimate ways. And it's hard to attract people when they could maybe make the same amount of money doing something that's less strenuous, something that's maybe not overnight, something that's maybe not in people's homes. So, yeah, I mean, I think paying people more is the number one. That's a prime motivator for people, giving them the benefits they need in order to care for their own families and their own situations. But, yeah, I mean, and that all starts with funding. If the nursing homes, if the home health agencies, if these companies are well funded, they will have more maneuverability to offer the kinds of carrots to get people to choose them over, say, working at Starbucks.
Well, let's make sure that we clarify something here. What is the difference between assisted living and a nursing home?
Got it. So assisted living is far less medically intense. Assisted living could take the form of an apartment where you have your own kitchen, where you have your own living space. And there are just nurses and aides on staff who come by, help you out with any, they're called ADLs, activities of daily living. Maybe you need help getting dressed, or maybe you need help reaching things from tall shelves. Maybe you need some reminders to take your medication. The assisted and independent living settings are far less medically intense. In a nursing home or a skilled nursing facility, you're probably in a hospital bed for most of the day. You need round-the-clock nursing coverage. You could be attached to IVs or different machines. So there's a really big gulf in the medical acuity at those levels.
Let's take another phone call. Mary Kay is with us from Kenosha. Mary Kay, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. I would like to address the shortage of workers first, and that is if we could have our CNA class and CPR classes on the job, you know, while you're being trained, rather than being in college and then having to take a test, another test, okay, we'd probably have more workers, okay? The second thing would be assisted living and part nursing home, and there's also dementia care. Okay, where people can go to classes to learn music, gardening, you know, choir, whatever. Things to do while they're in apartments.
Mm-hmm. Mary Kay, thanks for those comments. What about streamlining the process for being qualified to work in a nursing facility or assisted living?
Definitely. And that's an area that some states have explored in terms of getting people attracted and trained up. There are some interesting university partnerships. Some states have expanded the ability to get training at community colleges. And I think that is one strategy that a lot of home health nursing home companies have taken when they may not have the funding, is trying to come up with creative ways to make licensure easy, and also just promoting the jobs. You know, I mentioned earlier about how these jobs may not be glamorous, but there are tons of people out there who love working with the elderly, who really feel called to this mission, and they may not know about the opportunities that they have to work in the nursing home space or the senior care space writ large. So I think one of the key areas of outreach is reaching college students, even reaching high school kids, and telling them, look, this is a solid middle-class job. If you get some good wages, you can really make a difference in people's lives. So that's definitely part of the workforce crisis.
Do you think that nursing homes, that model of care, is going to eventually fall by the wayside?
So I think there will always be a spot for nursing home care. There are always going to be elderly people who require that level of coverage. That's not going away. And just as a simple numbers game, as the population ages, as the baby boom population reaches their 80s and 90s over the next couple of decades, there will always be a need for that kind of service. That said, I think there are great things that can be done in home health, great things that can be done to keep people in the community. And I think going forward, the challenge for policymakers is finding a way to reimburse for all of those different services, no matter where they are, in a way that allows the companies that provide it to provide great service. But there has been a shift from home health, from the nursing home population to home health, because the government and different insurance payers realize that it's less expensive. But there's kind of a sense that the amount of people who have been shifted from nursing homes into home health, that kind of migration is done. The people who are in nursing homes now really cannot be cared for in any other setting. So the model's not going to go away. It's just a matter of how do we have it survive in a landscape where there are so many other options that are great for people.
Let's take a quick call from Ben in Wisconsin Dells, and I'll just remind you that we're almost out of time, so please be brief.
Yep. I'm just wondering if perhaps we need to change our cultural mindset towards caring for the elderly, and maybe living intergenerationally would be a helpful cultural change to take the burden off all the long-term care facilities, and you know, maybe has that would cause it not to lead up to this.
All right. Ben thinks that we need a culture change. Grandparents need to stay in our homes and be cared for by family members. I think that's what he's getting at, which kind of was the old model before we started putting them in nursing homes. Is that sustainable given our current circumstances, do you think, Alex?
I think that is happening in a lot of cases, and it puts a lot of stress on the unpaid family caregivers. You know, that now you're getting into a macro level issue where, you know, you're the adult daughter or the adult son of an elderly person, and you might have to take off work, or you might have to go down to part-time hours to care for your loved one. And that has cascading effects throughout the whole economy and throughout people's well-being. So that is a solution, but it is a difficult one for a lot of people to make. That said, we're seeing a lot of interesting things on the senior living and even the nursing home side with intergenerational living, where you know, they build assisted living facilities on college campuses now. So you have the different cohorts living together, learning from each other. You have a built-in workforce among the college students. The older people get to remember what it was like to be young and in college, and that's a really interesting model going forward. So there's some truth there, but you can't rely on people to care for their elderly relatives mm-hmm. because it's just too much of a burden on them.
Alex, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm here anytime.
Alex Spanko is an editor at Aging Media Network. Just ahead, have you ever made the mistake of going on Amazon while less than sober? Well, you're not alone. We break down why we shop online when we're drunk. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network.